Hey everyone, and good morning. Shane Iverson here for another edition of Wellness Wednesday. It's so good to be with everyone from around the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Breakup has, here on the Kuskokwim, breakup is pretty much over, and it's been, it's been a time to wait and see what Mother Nature had in store for us, and, there's some consternation about how bad the flooding might be. I know some communities, did get some flooding on the roads, but I think most of us would agree it could have been a whole lot worse. So a sigh of relief from myself and everyone else. Looks like we got ourselves through another breakup, and it's time to get into summertime activities. With me, as always, on this Wellness Wednesday is our man, Paul. How you doing, Paul?
Good. How you doing, Shane?
Really good. Paul, if you didn't know, is a Jesuit volunteer. He's been at the fitness center for, going close to a year here. Mm-hmm. This summer it'll be a year. And he's worked with a lot of people to improve their fitness and activities. And Paul, you got through your first winter. How was it, man?
Pretty crazy.
What surprised you most? I mean, you knew it was going to be cold.
Yeah.
Right?
It was the wind.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you probably didn't know it was going to be like a record type of cold type of year.
Yeah, it was pretty insane.
We were telling them, yeah, it's going to warm up anytime. Don't worry. Like, these cold snaps come and they go, but never really goed.
Yeah, they didn't go anywhere.
Just stayed.
Yeah.
Anyway, so summertime is, for some of us, we consider breakup summertime. Some of us consider it like, I don't know how it's tough for me, but I consider it kind of like I consider it spring personally, but if you want to consider it summertime, I think when the smelts hit, that's what I call summertime, or when the leaves start growing on the trees, that's what I call summertime personally. But whatever you consider summertime, springtime for you, we are entering a new phase of the earth, and so it's a good time to focus on ourselves as well. So I'd like to, in today's episode, we're going to take a deep dive into something that affects all of us, and that's whether we realize it or not. The powerful two-way relationship between mental health and physical activity. This isn't just about working out to look better, get stronger. This is about how movement literally changes your brain and regulates your emotions. Can improve your resilience to stress, and even it shapes your long-term health. Things you do today could have effects how you feel and how you work and how you think as an elder. Paul, am I crazy or am I on point here?
No, you're spot on. It's so true. We need to, focus on the relationship between our mind and our bodies. It's a lot of people overlook it, but it's serious.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know if it's, I think there's different ways to look at it, and I think some cultures, some backgrounds do have more of a focus on connecting the two or not even considering them as two. But, my experience in the Western culture, I'm originally from the Midwest, been a United States citizen, born into the U.S., and I think there's kind of been a myth that mental health and physical health are just two separate things. You can focus on one, or you can focus on the other, or you can do, you can try to do both, but all, at the same time, they're different. But I don't believe that. I don't think they are.
No.
And I think the science is kind of bearing that out. Your brain is part of your body, obviously, but your thoughts, your emotions, your stress levels, they all have physical effects. And that can be through your hormones, through your nervous system, even your immune response.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, when you're anxious, we all know, we've all had, days, panic attacks, whatever it may be. Your heart rate increases. You don't want to do anything. When you're stressed, your muscles get all tight. You get knots in your muscles and whatnot. And, when you're feeling a little under the weather, a little low, you don't really want to do anything else. You don't want to get up out of the house. You don't want to lift some weights or go on a walk or whatever that may be. And that's kind of a negative feedback loop. But we do want to focus on the mind-body feedback loop, as we'll talk about in this episode today. They're constantly communicating. We're focusing on how our brain interacts with our body and how our body interacts with our brain. And I think that a lot of people overlook one of those two. So, it's important. And we can focus on the fact that it gives us power and agency. We can make changes to our brain by working out, and we can make changes to our body by focusing on our mental health. So, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. One thing we get to see, and I kind of want to get into like stress here, but I think just to kind of kick off that segment of our conversation, we see our regulars come into the fitness center, and our regulars are people that tend to come on a consistent kind of pattern. It might be like all 4 days of the work week. It might be like an every other day thing. Some people are like a Monday, Wednesday, Friday. But regardless, if you talk to them, almost all of them will tell you that they come with regularity because it's how they mentally do better.
Yeah.
They can decrease their stress. They feel better in their brain, in their head, by coming in to do a physical thing regularly. Mm-hmm. I just thought that's so interesting. I've been working at the fitness center for a year. And, more traditionally, I would think of like, hey, you work out so you can feel, your body will feel good later.
Yeah.
But what these regulars are often saying is their mind feels better immediately. That it helps them like reset their brain. And part of that is stress. A lot of these people are what you might call career individuals. They have stressful careers. They have families, and they've just got a lot going on, a lot on their brain. And so they're talking about stress. And, I think from what I can tell, stress is super connected to physical health. I know when I'm under stress, scientifically, your body releases a chemical called cortisol. And in small amounts, that's great. Like, it's what helps a basketball player focus in when they have the stress of the game or, when you're in a situation maybe where something's got to get done. You got to perform. And that's where cortisol is good. But, at the same time, it's got kind of a negative effect too, right?
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
If it's continuous and chronic and your cortisol levels are going to be high for extended periods of time, you're obviously going to wear yourself out. You might gain some weight. You're definitely not going to sleep well. And with sleep, as we'll talk about a little bit more later, that is a whole other kind of cascade effect,
right,
on your body. But yeah, your immune system, that's going to take a hit. You can even increase risks of illnesses, long-term illnesses, heart disease, that type of stuff.
Yeah, just another story. One of my kids was having a tough time in school when they were much younger. And they just didn't get along with the teacher. And I think, a lot of great teachers out there, and this might have been a good teacher, but I guess just the way that this teacher interacted with my child caused my kid a lot of stress. And we noticed she was getting stomach aches, wasn't feeling good, was getting sick, was missing school.
Yeah.
And we didn't necessarily correlate it to the problem she was having with the teacher, because like it wasn't that often, it was only here and there that there would be conflict. But eventually we just decided, hey, let's try to talk to the school. Let's try get her in a different class. And that we did that. And lo and behold, the stomach aches went away.
Mm-hmm.
Every day was like a good day instead of like up and down days. It was like back to the kid that we remembered, that we kind of felt was like the baseline for who this kid was. So that was just like a little bit of stress, a little bit of conflict, and all of a sudden, my kid's getting sick.
Yeah.
Once a week, stomach problems. So right there was like, that was proof to me. It's super intertwined.
Big time.
Yeah. So, and, you know, I guess the, you know, our regulars we were talking about, people coming in to work out every day, they're trying to, I guess, like kind of break that cycle, you think?
Yeah.
Like interrupt that stress pattern.
Yeah. If you're working out in a controlled environment, like if you're lifting weights or running or going on a walk, you have that short cortisol kind of burst that we talked about a little bit, and that's okay and that's great. And your body can get used to that and acclimate to that. It's just like a muscle. So in small bursts, you can build yourself up and to be able to handle more stress and more cortisol. But too much cortisol at once and for too long of a time is just going to have those negative impacts like we talked about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's where people really get into problems. And, you know, there's like, why would you have stress and why would it produce cortisol for a long time? And I think what we're finding is like the human mind can really kind of harp on the negative, whether you believe in evolution or whether you think it's by design. It's easy for many of us to find problems and to like think on that problem beyond what's helpful. And that's kind of where you're like, or there's just several problems. You're just like, your mind's kind of racing through them. And so like these workouts, yeah, they help spike your cortisol quickly, but it's almost like, I think of it like, we all know people who work out have a lower heart rate.
Yep.
But when they are working out, their heart rate goes super high compared to someone who doesn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
At their base, kind of their average heart rate. So when you spike your heart rate super high, and it comes back down, it's like better condition. So then your heart rate goes lower than someone who doesn't work out at all. And that's kind of where you get like that nice, healthy heart rate.
Yep.
That's low on average, but you want to see those like quick spikes here and there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, we talk about fight or flight. That's kind of a biological response that all us humans have. And when we are in flight or in fight, whatever it may be, and our cortisol is high, it can be good, like we've been saying. But I don't really know where I was going with this.
Yeah, well, just spike it and get it back down.
Exactly.
And if you're having trouble, if you're feeling stressed out, it's weird because when you're feeling stressed out, like you've got, especially if you feel because you've got so much to do, you'll tell yourself, I don't have time to work out.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is that's actually when you kind of have to work out, as long as you're not, you know, too fatigued. You know, maybe you don't give yourself a huge workout, but even just going for a walk, right? Or
yeah.
Or like just hitting some push-ups, something to like kind of get that cortisol up past what your chronic level is, and that'll help it drop back down.
Exactly. Yeah. Anything will work. Get your heart rate up. Get moving. Whatever it may be, it'll help.
Okay. Well, yeah, we talked about stress, you know, cortisol, and being resilient. And again, you know, it's what do you think it's kind of like the chicken or the egg. Do you think it starts in the mind and then goes to the body, or do you think it starts in the body and goes to the mind?
Ooh, it seems like it would go start in the mind. When you're feeling good and you're motivated to work out, then you're going to move. And then when you're feeling terrible in your head, you're obviously going to, you know, stay at home, sit around, do bad things, eat bad food, whatever it may be. So yeah, I think it starts in the mind. So we got to take care of that first. But as we're going to talk about today, by taking care of your body, you can take care of your mind.
Yeah, for me, I think like, I feel like the stress starts in the mind, then it affects your body, and you can try. And probably some people are successful. You can correct it. You can catch yourself. you can tell yourself, I'm going to keep a positive mindset, and that can work. But I think the shortcut is using your body to correct it. And I think, you know, doing something with your body that you enjoy, or that is a challenge, can kind of like short circuit that negative mental loop. And so, like, when you're stressed or depressed, and you can make yourself go for a walk, or you can make yourself, you know, play basketball if you still can, or whatever it is, you know, whatever is going to be the thing for you, you can make yourself do it, whether you like it or not. You're able to kind of interrupt that negative mindset,
yeah,
and give yourself a chance. And, like, you know, and I think stress is one thing, but I think depression, or, you know, even if you don't feel like, you know, like, depression, I think, is like a kind of a diagnosis. But like sadness or prolonged sadness, you know, I think for our purposes, purpose of our conversation, that's kind of like depression, right?
Yeah.
It might not be clinical. It might not be something that like requires a clinical intervention. But I think all of us have known times where we felt, clinical or not, felt depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the most common symptoms is low energy and lack of motivation. And that really makes, you know, that physical, the want to be physical, to get out there and move and do something. It makes it really difficult.
Yeah, big time. But, yeah, it's ironic, but actually movement, as we're talking about, is the one of the best ways to improve these symptoms. So even though we don't feel like doing it, once we start, you know, we're going to feel even more motivated. Walking, exercising, working out, biking, whatever your choice is, it's going to increase your energy levels, it's going to improve your mood, and it's going to break your cycles of negative thinking.
Yeah, break that cycle. You got to stop. I mean, sometimes you can just feel yourself spinning out.
Yeah, big time.
And it's good to, I mean, I think you got to, to me, you got to recognize it. You got to see it. Like, whoa, I don't always feel this way, but I feel this way now. What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, we talk to our regulars. I know for myself as well, I've never left a workout feeling worse than I did when
yeah,
I started.
Right,
you always
feel true.
Better.
That's
yeah.
true. Even if you're like, you're proud of yourself, or it's weird, like, you, the pain you went through to get yourself there feels good on the other end.
Mm-hmm.
Your tight muscles, your expanded muscles, you might feel a little pump in certain body parts you worked out, whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to walk out with a good feeling.
Exactly. Yeah. You're going to walk in with that negative energy. You're going to channel that negative energy into something positive, and then you're gonna feel pretty dang good after.
Man, how could, you know what we should think about doing sometime is like just a quick survey, like, how are you feeling? People walk in, they check in, you know, 1 to 10.
Yeah.
How you feeling? They check a box. Ask them the same question on the way out. How you feeling? They check a box. I bet you're gonna see it move up 2, 3, 4, you know, clicks per person on average.
Oh,
or
definitely.
Even higher, you know?
Yeah.
Come in feeling like dog, you know, 3.
Yeah, terrible.
And then leave, mm-hmm. Hey, I feel pretty good, 7, 8.
Yeah.
I work out in.
Mm-hmm. Big time.
Yeah, I want to just kind of interrupt our conversation and just remind people, you know, don't let finances stop you from getting yourself in shape and to get, you know, we're not even talking about really getting in shape. We're just talking about taking care of your mental state, which, you know, being in shape will help that. But even just some exercise sometimes can be tremendously helpful. So the fitness center does have an equitable access program that's going to allow you to pay the amount that's right for you. So discounts for memberships and day passes, 25, 50, even 75%, depending on your household income. So, you know, don't ever let someone get away with saying, I can't afford to go to the fitness center. There's a price that we can make right for you. And there are several people who come in and take advantage of that. And you can not only sign up yourself, it applies to your whole household. So if you, you know, if you consider yourself a leader of your household, come on in and get the household squared away. It applies to everybody. But yeah, increasing, getting some activity in. What's your go-to? Whether it's at a gym or in your everyday life when you're not feeling great.
My go-to is sunlight, walk, maybe a light jog. A little bit of sweat's always helpful. I just feel a little bit more productive, feel better about myself. Yeah. Lifting weights also. I love lifting weights, but you know, if you don't have access to that, you're traveling or, you know, you just can't get to the gym that day. Push-ups. There's so many different ways, but go-to is definitely walk outside for me.
That's good. That's a good one. Mine is cleaning. Just like when I'm not feeling great, like I don't want to do really anything. Mm-hmm. I'll be like, as long as I don't want to do anything, I might as well just pick up the area I live in. So I'll just kind of like use that, and that'll get me moving. And then from there, I can usually jump to something else, you know, whether it's a walk or exercise or
yeah.
Try to do something with my kids that I've been wanting to do for a while. Kind of treat myself to that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. That's a good baby step. Like, to get yourself moving, to get momentum, just make your bed. I forget, there's some Navy admiral or something. He was talking about if you make your bed in the morning, that you start with one task completed, and now you can snowball that into two tasks and four tasks and eight tasks and whatever it may be.
Getting the win early.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good one. I do like when I make the bed, which is most mornings, but some mornings not so much. And then I look at it, I'm like, dude. Anyway, man, anxiety. I hear so much about anxiety, you know. When I was growing up, I didn't hear anything about anxiety. I don't even know if I knew what the word meant. But now we talk about anxiety. How do you describe anxiety?
Yeah, anxiety's tough. I mean, I think it manifests for different people. For me, it manifests as like sweating. My heart rate gets up and I just feel like I'm just not comfortable in my own skin.
Mm-hmm.
But I know for some people, anxiety manifests as being sleepy. They just want to sleep all day, whatever it may be.
Okay.
But yeah, for me, it's just, you know, not feeling comfortable, worried about something that's upcoming, or something where I feel like I'm falling short.
I don't know. I definitely have felt what I've, you know, it's, to me, it sounds like kind of like nervousness or insecurity.
Yeah.
I definitely have felt like insecure at times or, yeah, like nervous or fearful, not like super fearful, you know, not like life or death, but like, I don't know, is this going to go bad? Is this going to be a bad thing for me?
Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm not good enough. That's an anxiety thing.
Yeah. Or, you know, I've always got a lot of things on my plate. So I guess probably the most common form of anxiety for me is like, am I going to get this thing done?
Yeah.
Right. Or at all. Mm-hmm. Or am I going to screw this up big time? And it's going to negatively affect me. It's going to negatively affect the people around me. I'm going to be a screw up. And it's going to be bad. So I guess what? There's probably just a lot of different forms. I think a lot of people feel like social anxiety seems to be something that's being talked about more and more as people spend more time on their screens.
Yep.
And then now then they're in situations where they're around other people and they're like, they just don't feel comfortable.
Yeah,
they don't like it.
They're
afraid of failing in front of them. I don't know what it is exactly. I don't relate to that one as much. But yeah, is there a way we can help people that know they feel anxious? You know, what is there in our kind of mind body connection that we can tell them?
Yeah, I mean, the first step is literally just acknowledging it. I think that's step one, knowing, okay, I'm sitting here, I'm anxious. Maybe try to address the root of the problem. Sometimes it's harder than you think. You don't really know where it's coming from. And then use your tools, whatever it may be. If you're near the gym, go to the gym. If you're at your office, sitting at a desk, maybe it's take a walk around the office, take a lap, or do 10 push-ups. Yeah, drink some water, a nice meal. There's so many different ways. But it's just about recognizing where you're at and then falling back on your systems or on your tools that you have created in advance, hopefully, to know how to act when this feeling comes on.
Yeah, I think where people could probably easily see what we're talking about if they haven't done much exercise or they're not used to this is like, think about a time you've got like loving touch, you know, whether it was from a parent or a partner or, you know, a friend, like a hug, you know, someone that you care and trust, like come like giving you a quick shoulder rub, even like a pat on the back, you know, like you can pretty instantly feel good or relax, you know, as long as it's a consenting touch that you appreciate. And so this is something similar. It's like, but you can do it for yourself. You don't need someone to help you feel better. You can just do these physical things by yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, that gives you even more power and more agency over these feelings that sometimes they feel like you can't control them. They come on out of nowhere and you feel helpless and you have an anxious day and you don't know what to do. But we know that not only can someone else help, like you were saying, Shane, like we can actually make a difference in these feelings, and that's super powerful.
Yeah, and I don't know if there's any other dancers out there, but I had a roommate, one of my first roommates when I moved to Bethel, and like 7 a.m., music would go on. I was like, what's going on, right? And then, you know, I'd go check his room, and like he'd be in front of the mirror dancing.
Wow.
I'd be like, whoa. You know, I love to dance. I always thought of dancing as something you went out and did. I always thought of dancing as something you did with other people. I always thought of dancing as something you typically did at night, maybe in the late afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like the first time I thought you could just dance by yourself any time of day.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll do that now, you know, especially if my energy's low and I need a pick-me-up, I'll put on like some dance music and just bust out some moves while I'm doing some scrambled eggs for my family or whatever while the coffee's brewing. So yeah, it's going to be different for everyone, you know. Mm-hmm. Not everyone's going to feel comfortable doing that, but like something, stretch out, focus on your breathing, take some long deep breaths, go for a walk, do some air squats, something to just kind of cut the tension in your life.
Yeah, cold showers, that's another good one.
All right, now let's address something real. If exercise is so beneficial, why is it so hard to do?
Yeah.
I mean, everything we're talking about sounds so good.
Yeah, it seems easy.
You know, and especially when you're struggling mentally. But mental health challenges can like directly affect motivation, energy, and consistency.
Yep.
So that's a tough part. I mean, I don't know. If I told you like, hey, have this piece of candy, it's going to make you feel a lot better, and it kind of will for like a minute, but then it's gone. But the minute it hits you is so like instantaneous, and that signal must be so strong that it seems like that's the easier route, even though we know you can't do that consistently and be healthy. It's going to lead you to feel worse.
Yep.
You know. And I'm just using a piece of candy as like, yeah, you know, junk food or you know, food that's not healthy for you in large quantities. Just as one example, but I think we can think of a lot of vices that seem to make you feel better instantly, but mm-hmm. the gratification quickly fades away and you're actually left in a worse spot. So, you know. What's the key to taking this harder but better path of physical exercise, physical movement?
Yeah. Well, I think it's a common trend we've been talking about these last few episodes that we've done, at least. It's about dividing your actions, dividing your, you know, what you're going to do in the morning or in the afternoon or at night into the smallest units so you can make them easier and easier. So if we think about, oh, we're just going to do 5 push-ups, how long does that take? 10, 15 seconds. And then once you do 5, you're like, oh, maybe I can do 5 more. And then you're, you know, that's a snowball effect. So it's really about making the first step the easiest. And of course, that can be hard. It can be hard when you're feeling low. You don't want to get out of bed. But if you're getting out of bed and you splash some water on your face and you're going to do 5 push-ups, it doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be perfect.
Yeah, you can do them on your knees. That's a real push-up.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just something small. Celebrate yourself for doing something small. And you'll, over time, you'll teach yourself, I'm a person that does 5 push-ups every day. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes, I'm a person that does 10 push-ups every day, and so on and so forth. So yeah, it's about starting and getting moving. Action creates motivation. So yeah, you get your body moving, your brain's going to shift, and then it's just going to be a positive cycle.
So yeah, lower the barrier, right? Like, just keep it simple for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's the program I'm on right now, really. I'm trying to, you know, people say, well, now that you work at the fitness center, you must just be working out all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, I'm not actually. But what I have made it what I'm dedicated to doing is one exercise every day. I do one exercise every day, and sometimes that turns into 2, 3, or 4. But if it doesn't turn into 2, 3, or 4, I just take my win. I did, you know, I at least got my one in.
Yeah.
And if I do that every day, it leaves me in a pretty good shape. So, you know, I think that's a really helpful way to look at it. I think unless you're in a sport or unless you're just super motivated fitness person, it can be pretty hard to dedicate a full hour on a consistent basis. So, you know, don't. Just make sure you do something every day, and you might be surprised where that leads you.
Yeah. I mean, last week I was super busy. Didn't really have time to work out. So this week I was like, if I can just do a 30-minute workout on Monday. So I just focused on doing 30 minutes. I knew that's something I could do. And then Tuesday, it was 45. And then today, it was an hour. So it's just, everybody falls out of it, and it's just lowering the barrier to entry to get back in.
Yeah. And congratulating yourself, you know? I feel like way too many people don't tell themselves, good job.
Yeah.
You know? Like, they might lift weights and they'd be like, well, I lifted weights, but that dude over there lifted twice as much as me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, not much to say about the fact that I lifted, but you know, the better way to think of it is I got the job done today. I lifted weights. Didn't matter how much. It was a challenge for me. Got it done. And you take that again, you recognize the positivity in your life and you take a moment to reflect on it, because why reflect only on the negative stuff when you could take some time to reflect on the positive stuff?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think, like, overall, as you create these actions, it starts to motivate you. If you've, you know, been going to the gym now, you know, several times in a row, now all of a sudden you're motivated to go again, because you don't want to kind of break your cycle. You know, if you've been doing this now for a month, now you're motivated because you're starting to see the change in your body.
Yep.
And you don't always need the motivation, but it's there for you because you've created this action. I think you're right. Once you start moving, even a little bit, the science proves your brain chemistry begins to shift, and you can create that momentum.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, sleep has been, you know, the older I get, the more and more I do appreciate sleep. And it's funny. I used to look at sleep as like wasted time. Like, this is time I'm not getting stuff done. But
yep.
It turns out the most important work is being done while you sleep. You're just not conscious to be aware of it, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we live in a society, everyone's focused on productivity. You know, I know for me, I was like, if I sleep more than 6 hours in a night, I'm wasting time. I'm not getting enough done
Weakness.
During the day. Yep, big time. That's a toxic mindset, of course. But yeah, exercise and sleep are very much intertwined. And as we know, sleep is where you rebuild muscle, you lower your cortisol. There's so many benefits to it. Your immune system gets better the more you're sleeping. I know when I wake up, I haven't slept for a couple of days, or I'm sleeping poorly for a week, and I just don't feel as good, both physically and mentally. So, yeah, sleep is super duper important.
And there's, you know, I gotta say, there's a lot of ways to kind of detract, kind of ruin your sleep or make it a lot worse than it could be. And they're finding these phones that we love so much, myself included. Mm-hmm. We've got to get off those near bedtime. Like, just blast in your eyes with they have a lot of blue light, but light in general, but, you know, it's blue light. That's the light that makes, like, midday so bright as compared to, like, the red light you might, that the sun produces more of, or doesn't produce more of, but the angles hit us, you know, so the effect is there's more red light in the evenings and in the mornings, and then there's more blue light midday when it's at its peak. And, you know, we are engineered as humans to respond to that blue light to be awake and active.
Yep.
And so when you're staring at your phone just before bedtime, I'm sorry, but that is not going to help you get into the best sleep.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things like that you can do. You can get some blackout curtains. I've used cardboard. I just have like a cardboard cutout, and I'll just stick it in my window at night, and that blocks a lot more sun. As we get into the summer, light comes pounding through your window. And even, you know, those of us in Bethel and most villages, but Bethel has a lot of street lights in some areas, not in others, I know. But outside my house, there's a street light, and it just comes through the window. And, you know, you can function in my room without a light on because there's so much street light coming through the window. And that is not good for rest, you guys.
Yeah, no.
You're going to want to block out as much as you can. Face masks can help, but there is some science that even, like, I was reading a study that they put blue light, I think it was blue light, some kind of light, like, on the knee of someone. They just had, like, a little localized light strapped onto them while they slept, and in, you know, the conclusion of the study was even that negatively impacted sleep. So it would appear there's photoreceptors, not just in our eyes, but throughout our body. So I think the more light you can block out, the better. But yeah, getting exercise helps a lot of people sleep. It helps me sleep quite a bit.
Definitely. Yeah. Exercise reduces stress, as we talked about. And it also, it literally makes you tired. If you're working out, you exert yourself physically, you're going to be fatigued. You're going to fall asleep quicker. And yeah, that's going to help you reinforce the natural sleep cycle. You're falling asleep at the same time every day, waking up at the same time every day. It's just going to make all of that easier. And then downstream, you're going to see improved mood. You're going to be thinking clearer. You're going to make better decisions. And you're going to be able to regulate your emotions a little bit better. We all know that person who doesn't get enough sleep when they're super cranky.
Yeah, right.
Causing problems.
Right.
You don't want to be that person. So make sure you prioritize your sleep.
And even if you're not that person, you know, we can see that person who is just awful. We love them all. That, you know, it's someone in your life that you love, but they don't get enough sleep and they instantly change.
Yep.
And even if you're not as extreme, we're all humans and we're all similar, and there's going to be negative effects. I thought one of the most interesting things that I came across about sleep is a study on violence. And what the study found is that a lot of people, when they commit acts of violence, are sleep deprived.
Mm.
And, you know, just look, you can even just look at the timing of when a lot of the worst stuff happens. It's doesn't tend to be at 4 p.m, generally speaking. It tends to be past a healthy human's bedtime.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, we change who we are. Our personalities change for the worse as we lack sleep. So you just really can't say enough good stuff about getting a good night's rest, you guys. Sleeping is cool. It's totally cool. And if you want to build a healthy body, you know, like a lot of these weightlifters will tell you, you tear yourself up in the weight room and then you build your muscle while you're sleeping. That's where the actual growth comes from.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, sleep is cool. And good sleep is even cooler than bad sleep. There's a lot of other, like, sleep tips out there to help you improve your sleep. But I think just, like, staying away from stressful stuff and staying away from blinding lights is really good.
Yep.
We try to use, like, red lights in our house, and that helps. They're not everywhere. I'd like to get a few more. But
mm-hmm.
you can feel the calming effect of, like, an amber light or a red light as compared to, like, your standard LED.
Yeah, LEDs are not good.
Yeah, they're super not good for just feeling chill, man. You want to feel chill before you go to bed. Well, let's talk about self-esteem and confidence. You know, there's also a psychological layer to exercise that goes beyond our biology. Anytime you stick to a routine, even if it's a simple one, you actually start to build trust in yourself. You know, you can begin to see yourself as someone who shows up, who follows through, who takes care of themselves, who does what they say they're going to do, who takes care of their commitments. And I think that shift in identity can be really powerful.
Yeah, big time, big time. You know, we start off as just one day. I worked out today. But now if you stack those days, you worked out for a whole week, maybe a whole month, or if you're really great, a whole year. Now you're just somebody who works out. This is just who I am. This is what I do. This is not an extra added thing in my life that I do when I'm free. It's just a commitment every single day that becomes part of your identity and essential for your function, which is a good thing in this case. We wanna have these systems in place where we can rely on and commit to every day or every other day, whatever your schedule permits. That's going to make you feel better, sleep better, feel better about yourself, all those things that we've been talking about.
Yeah, getting those things done so you can, again, like, celebrate yourself and look at yourself in a positive role. And again, there's so many types of exercise that can help, and they all kind of point to similar positive mental aspects. You know, they're all going to lead you to feeling better, but you can kind of, like, also divvy up different exercises and kind of target in on, like, more specific types of mental impacts. You know, like, I'm going to give an example, like clean up, green up, for example. So me and my family, each spring we go out, get our yellow Alpar bags. They're available all over the city right now. We go for a walk, we pick things up, squat, we bend down, stand back up, move around, bend our backs. And then we might, like, if we're together, we might get a little competitive, try to fill our bags up quicker so you can get, like, a bigger bag.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go race to, like, a big piece of litter to really pad our stats of the bag. And then, you know, so I feel like that, for me, helps me feel like I got that fresh air, so I kind of feel energized. And then I have, like, the I can kind of celebrate myself and my family, like, hey, we did a good thing for our community. Now everyone gets to look at this street we cleaned up and it looks way better. So yeah, like, but there's, you know, tons of different types of exercises. So how would you break down kind of the benefits to each?
Yeah. So we're going to start with cardio. That can be running, cycling, swimming, walking, anything that's going to, you know, raise your heart rate for an extended period of time. And that helps with reducing anxiety, boosting mood.
Yeah, we got some regulars at the pool.
Yep.
Who've been using they come in, they use the pool. You know, the pool's, like, going to be low impact. There's so little impact on your body. So this is a really good one. If you've got joint pain, if you're older, if you've if you become overweight and like doing things on ground or on land can be stressful for your joints. We're seeing people who are hitting that pool, getting in cardio, and they're getting amazing results over time. They're being patient with themselves, and we're seeing the difference.
Yeah, big time. And we have all the tools. If you need a, you know, noodles, any type of flotation device to help you, we have that. I've seen people use those breathing masks where it's like a snorkel.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't even have to worry about moving their neck or anything to breathe. They're mm-hmm. just swimming back and forth breathing.
Yeah, I could see how that'd be more comfortable and kind of more of a pleasant experience instead of like thrashing your face in and out of the water.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, definitely. That's and that, cool. that makes it easier, and people are committed to doing that. So, yeah, we have all the tools if you guys want to come on down to swim. But next, we have strength training. So that's going to build a little bit more confidence. As your muscles start to get a little bit bigger, you're going to feel a little bit more confident. You're going to feel like you have a little bit more control in your life. You're making a change in your body. Your body's responding well. So that feels super good. Yoga, stretching. FYI, there's going to be a yoga program at the library this summer. So definitely check that out as well. But any type of stretching, you know, getting your body moving, mobility, that's going to reduce stress also, and mindfulness. We talk about the breathing exercises. If you've seen any yoga on YouTube or in real life, they're really focused on their breathing and calming their mind, emptying their mind. So pretty cool. Definitely super helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And then lastly, kind of what you touched on, team sports, group fitness, the competitive nature of cleaning up a street with your family so you can do the most, get the most trash. That's going to keep people accountable. If you know that your friend's going to the gym, you're gonna be more likely to go to the gym because you don't want to be like, hey, I couldn't come today, I just didn't want to, or whatever your excuse is. You know it's gonna be an excuse. You're not gonna feel great about it. And it just makes it more enjoyable. You're talking to people. There's plenty of cool people at the gym to talk to and have fun with.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to all of them. Each one of those kind of segments. Yeah, they bring their own benefits. They all point towards the same direction of a better you and a more mentally healthy person. But yeah, each kind of comes with its like specific target. Mm-hmm. I look forward to summer because I play more team sports once it warms up, and yeah, I just love seeing friends and then meeting new people.
Yeah,
introducing new people to the sport, just the social connection of it feels really good. Yeah, and I hope to do it as long as I can. And, you know, there's, you know, probably things outside this list that work just as well.
Yep, definitely. It's all about what works best for you. So find something that works. Find something that gets your heart rate up, gets your body moving.
Yeah.
And just stick to it.
Walking the dog. I think that's a really good one. You know, you get, mm-hmm. You get some time with your best friend. Get that cardio in, and then you also get the added benefit of knowing you provided something for another being, something else also, because you took the time.
Yeah, that, I know, I mean, it's not really applicable here, but when I was growing up, raking leaves was a workout for me.
Uh-huh.
Shoveling snow.
Yeah,
that's
right.
A workout, all that type of stuff. There's so many different ways.
Yeah, and then when you add an element of giving to that, like when you shovel an elder's
mm-hmm.
walk or just a neighbor's, you woke up before them and you shoveled some of their steps out or something. Yeah, all good stuff, man. So let's, we're kind of getting to the end of our show here, but let's zoom out. You know, regular physical activity doesn't just, you know, improve your current mental state. I think it protects your future health. I think it, you know, you're doing something for yourself today, but you're also doing something for your future self.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I think like heart disease is probably the easiest one to think about.
Yep.
And everyone seems to understand that pretty we've all been told how exercise improves your heart, but it goes much further than that.
Yeah, exercise reduces the risk of diabetes, cognitive decline. So we think of Alzheimer's. You know, if you're moving your body, you're using your hand-eye coordination, activating your brain and your body at the same time is going to help maintain that level of cognition for longer. I mean, it's all inevitable, but, you know, we want to stay as sharp as we can for as long as we can. And then, as we were talking about these stress conditions, these chronic stress things that, you know, can be caused by increased cortisol that's super high over a long period of time, you know, working out, exercising lowers our cortisol in the short term, but repeated short-term lowering of the cortisol is going to affect the long term as well.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, that's great. Yeah, one of my hacks is like going for a walk or even just like doing some push-ups after a meal. Because, you know, you eat a big meal, especially if it's kind of might have been a little more sugary, your blood sugar is going to spike. And you want to get that sugar out of your blood and into your muscles. So if you use your muscles, it's going to reduce that blood sugar spike, which, you know, in theory is going to lead to a longer, healthier life. So That's just a little tip from me. I like little hacks that kind of help me feel like I'm getting the most out of life. So, yeah, just one other way to improve your long-term health, keep your blood sugar low instead of, like, falling asleep and taking a nap after your big meal. Like, just go for a walk or do some quick exercise. Use that sugar, get it out of your blood and into your body. Get it in your muscles and put it to use right away. It's going to be for long-term benefit. Well, yeah, we hope to see you out on the road helping clean up the community, clean up Green Up. Underway. Lots of kids have already participated. Lots of community members that we're going to be giving away two bicycles here in a couple weekends. So still some time to get your Alpar bags and clean up. The parks are looking pretty good, but I've seen some streets and some street corners that could still use some help. So, you know, hopefully you can find some free time, take a few friends, take your kids. And it's a great way to just give a little something back to your community. Why you get some fresh air yourself, some exercise. So, again, it's kind of one of those win-win situations. And, yeah, Paul and I would love to see you come up to the fitness center. Ask about the EAP program. If you forget that, it's just ask, hey, how can I get a discount? And then just like we have two questions for you, you know, how much does your household make and how many people live in your household? And we can figure out from there if you're going to qualify for 25%, 50%, maybe even 70%, 75% off of the fees. So, I mean, wow, what a good thing the city council has done in terms of making sure everyone has access to the fitness center. It's called the EAP program, Equitable Access Program. You could be on your way to a better feeling self and improve the way not just your body feels, but the way your mind feels every day. Reduce your anxiety, reduce your stress, feel better, gain confidence. All these things that come from working out. We'd love to see you and be a part of your journey up at the fitness center.
Yeah, definitely.
Paul, anything else to add as we head into summertime for everybody?
Yeah, I mean, we'd love to see you. You know, check out the QR codes on the machines. Ask some questions. I know that can be tough sometimes, everyone. Can get a little bit nervous. There's someone who might be a little bit more experienced than you, know a little bit more than you. But take David, for example. He's probably our fitness expert at the facility, and he loves talking.
Yeah.
So ask him some questions. Ask me some questions. Ask Shane some questions. We're there to help, and we're there to make your experience better and see you get healthier.
Yeah, we feel better about ourselves when we can help you. So please, you know, don't hold back from asking questions. And Paul, I really appreciate the codes, QR codes you put on there. Mm-hmm. For folks that are really shy, you can just, you know, point your phone at the QR code on each machine and you can get a little video tutorial on how to use it. So we've done everything we can to lower the barrier to fitness. It still takes you taking action, you know, again, committing to just one small thing, 5-10 minutes up at the fitness center. Whatever activity you're going to do, you know, go ahead, go for it. Break the cycle of any negative thoughts you have by taking some physical action today. All right, everyone, it's the 20th of May. It's almost 11 o'clock. Looks like it's 10:55 at on this day, and I just wish you all a great week as you get ready for the upcoming summer season. Have a good one.
Take care, guys.
Thank you for listening to Wellness Wednesday, a show about health and wellness in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Listen online at kyuk.org or tune in live every Wednesday at 10 a.m. right here on KYUK.